We are living in the end times. Believers need to be grounded in the Word to be able to discern times and apply divine wisdom. Join Reverend I.T. Matuda as he does an exposition of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians.
Greetings, saints. Welcome to an exposition of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. We continue on our journey of studying the Word of God. Today we are on lesson number 4. Chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians. I've titled this Times and Seasons and Practical Exhortation. Now, yesterday we covered lesson 3, where we looked mainly at sanctification, then ended with rapture, where we looked at the steps that are going to take place when rapture transpires and when the Lord Jesus appears in the clouds, and the dead in Christ will resurrect, and us that will be alive, or those that will be alive then, will be caught up with him together with the other saints in the clouds. And there'll be what a great fellowship and a wonderful time it will be there, and forever will be with the Lord. Today we move on to chapter number 5, and we want to begin by looking at times and seasons. I'll do an overview of chapter 1, of chapter 5. Then we'll then look at 5 lessons that we draw out of this chapter. Now, get your Bible, get your notebook. Let's dig into the scriptures. And I believe that there will be a blessing, and you'll be edified and you'll be empowered by the word of God. Now, verse 1, Apostle Paul begins by reminding the saints about times and seasons. He actually says, concerning times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should remind you. So he's now dealing with times and seasons. Already he's continuing on the theme that he ended with in chapter 4, where he was talking about rapture. But he goes on further now to give a broader overview of times and seasons and how the saints can understand and how they can apply the wisdom of the scriptures to times and seasons. Now, you must understand that the Thessalonians were a young church, as I've said before, but there was a lot of confusion about times and seasons. There were people that had come into the church and were causing confusion that Christ has already come, or talking about some saying that's the end. If people die, there's no resurrection. So there was a lot of confusion about the day of the Lord, about resurrection, and about even rapture. So Paul writes this letter to bring clarity and to be able to explain the truth of the word of God. Now, verse 2 to 3, Paul shares how the day of the Lord will come. So he begins to enlighten them to say, no, don't get worried. Don't begin to panic. You must understand how the day of the Lord will come and how you are able to deal with it. Now, verse 2 of chapter 5 says, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. You remember these are the exact words of Jesus Christ when he speaks in the gospel. He says, for the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. No one knows the time, no one knows the hour, except for the Father. So when a thief comes, no one is planned for a thief. He comes at a time that is most unlikely. So what he's saying there is using that analogy to say Christ or the day of the Lord will appear when people least expect it. You remember Christ also uses the days of Noah as an example to say, before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and getting into marriage. Then suddenly the flood came. So shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. So life will continue. People will be going about their businesses, eating and drinking, giving into marriage. But suddenly Christ will appear. Verse 3 says, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with a child, they shall not escape. So Jesus says, when the world is saying peace, when it is saying all is well, when the world is saying we are prospering, suddenly destruction will strike. The day of the Lord will come. And he gives an example of a woman who gets into labor. Unexpectedly, the labor pains begin to manifest. So you see that even if we look at what we are experiencing now, that least expected, no one expected it this way. Suddenly, this pandemic comes and suddenly businesses, shops, liquor stores are closed, aeroplanes are parked, Many people are at home without a prior warning. Things have come to a standstill. It is just a foretaste of what can happen on the time of tribulation and in the day of the Lord. Now, verse 4 to 6, Apostle Paul then begins to speak to believers as children of light. So it's important that we understand now that he's addressing believers. He said the day of the Lord will come as a thief. But in verse 4, he then says, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Now, I want you to understand, Paul is now saying, even though the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, he says, then you are not of darkness, that day should come to you as a thief. So it would be like a thief to unbelievers. Those in the world, they'll be caught unawares. But us who are of the kingdom of God are not in darkness. That day would not come like a thief, because we should be prepared for it. We should be able to see the signs of his coming. Verse 5 says, you all children of light, you are all children of light and the children of day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. So he calls the believers children of light and children of the day. Verse 6 says, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. So he's now exhorting the saints to say, now this day is coming, but let us be alert. Let us be awake as children of light. Verse 7 to 8, Paul continues to speak to believers and instruct them on how they can get ready for the day of the Lord. And I believe this is relevant to us as believers in our generation, in our time, that we need to be ready for the day of the Lord. Verse 7 says, for they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunk get drunk in the night. So he says, people who go asleep, now sleep in the natural, but also sleep spiritual. People go to a place where they are asleep. That's why as a church, we need to awake. We need to be alert. You remember the parable of Jesus Christ. He says, there is a man who planted his wheat, but while he slept, the enemy came and sowed a seed of weeds. So while he was sleeping, the enemy came in. So we as children of the light should not have spiritual slumber or spiritual sleep where the enemy will take advantage. Verse number 8 says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. So he gives us what to put on, us who are of light, that we may be prepared, something that we must wear. He says we must wear a breastplate of faith to protect our hearts. The breastplate covers the area of the heart here. So to protect our hearts in times and seasons like this, we need a breastplate of faith and of love, he says, then a helmet, which is the hope of our salvation, that covers our thoughts. Our mindset should have our hope, and our hope is in Christ, our Savior, who will appear, and we shall be with him, and we shall be like him. Verse number 9 to 11, Apostle Paul reminds the saints of the plan of God for them. In verse 9, he says, for God has not appointed us for wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So the plans that God has for us are not for us. You remember Jeremiah says, for I know the plans that I have for you, plans not to harm you or destroy you, but plans to give you hope and a future. And here Apostle Paul reminds them that the saints and the church has not been appointed for God's wrath, but it has been appointed for salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10 says, who died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, we should live together with him. Now that word sleep there is talking about death. So he says, whether we are awake, that means alive, or we are dead when we are sleeping. We said for the saints, we don't die per se, but we sleep waiting for the Savior. So Jesus died for us, that whether we are awake or whether we are asleep, we should live together with him. Now that we are alive, he is with us, and he is in us, and we are in him. When we sleep, we are also in him. Paul says to die is to be with the Lord. So whatever state of life we are in, we are with the Lord. Verse 11, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even also as you do. So it is important, believers, that we strengthen one another and we encourage one another. This is not time to bring one another down. This is not time to backbite and gossip about your fellow brother or sister in the Lord. We need to strengthen one another. We should not do the work of the enemy, the accuser, Satan, devil, the slanderer, but we should strengthen one another in the Lord as believers. Hallelujah. Verse 12 to 13, Paul begins to exhort the saints to honor leaders laboring among them. Now, Paul is beginning to come to the practicals. He has just moved and shifted from times and seasons, dealing with doctrine here. And he begins now to deal with the practicals of life. And he says in verse 12, we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. So he says, I want you to recognize, I want you to honor men and women that are above you, that labor, that serve you. It is important as believers that we honor pastors, we honor leaders, elders, men and women that serve in God's house to labor for the sake of our lives. It's very important. And God says we must do it and we must do it. Support the men and women that God has appointed to minister unto us. Verse 13 says, and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. So it says esteem. To esteem is to honor. So when you have a pastor, when you have a leader that leads you in the house of God, esteem them. Don't be one that backbites. Don't be one that causes trouble, but be one that esteems them highly for the sake of the work that they do, and be at peace among yourself. What a blessing. Verse 14 to 15, he continues to exhort the saints. Verse 15, now I exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. Verse 15, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both amongst yourself and among all men. So Paul is beginning to deal with practical issues among the believers and say, warn those that are unruly, comfort those that are weak. And it is important, especially in a time like this, in a season of difficulty, reach out to someone, give someone a phone call, send someone a message, encourage them, support those that are feeble and that are weak, those that are unruly, warn them to come back into the ways of the Lord. Support the weak. Be patient with all men. What a blessing. Verse 16 to 23, Apostle Paul begins to give practical wisdom and principles. Some powerful principles that he gives, and those that we can relate to in our day and in our time. What a message that he gives. Verse 16, he says, rejoice always. Other versions say, rejoice evermore. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. Other versions say, pray always. Verse 18, in everything, give thanks. Not in some things, but in all things, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 19, quench not the Spirit. So that means don't put out the Spirit of God. Verse 20, despise not prophesying or prophecy. Don't despise it. Verse 21, no matter there's been a lot of false prophetic movement that has arisen, don't worry about that. There's still genuine prophecy. God is still speaking, so don't despise. Then he gives practical wisdom and says, prove all things. The word prove means to test. That means test all things, test the spirits. First John chapter 4 says, test all spirits, because not all spirits are from God. The spirit of the Antichrist is already at work. So prove all things, test all things, discern spirits, hold fast to that which is good. So when you find that which is good, that which is genuine, hold on to it. Verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. There are certain things that you might are not really clear, gray areas in our walk with God. But those things, if there's an appearance of evil, Paul is saying, abstain from it. Verse 24 to 28, he then prays for the saints and he pronounces a blessing upon them. Verse 23 reads, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray that to God that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things, if you want to learn prayers that, to pray for yourself and for others, you must look at the prayers that Paul prays for the church in his epistles or in his letters, powerful prayers that he prays. This is one of the powerful prayers that he prays for the saints. It is one of the prayers that I pray daily, almost daily. I always pray that God, may you sanctify me, my whole spirit, soul, and body, may it be kept blameless to the coming or at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a prayer that is always looking to say, as we live here, we are also expecting that Christ to appear, but may our whole being be kept and sanctified in the presence of God. Verse 24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all brethren with a holy kiss. And verse 27, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Now, there are five lessons that we want to look at, and I believe these lessons will be a blessing to you. Lesson number one, the church needs a proper understanding of times and seasons. A lot of confusion arises when there's ignorance. I touched on this on the previous lesson. Now, Paul begins by saying in verse 1 that I come to times and seasons. I need not to remind you. He's saying by now you should understand the times and seasons of God. And it's very important, Vazalwan, that we understand the times and seasons of God. We understand the prophetic calendar of God according to his scripture. For in the Bible, we have the sure word of prophecy in the scriptures. When you read the Bible, it is a sure word of prophecy. The details of how God is going to move in this world and what he's going to do has been detailed in the prophecy of scripture. And we need an understanding of the times and seasons of God and what is going to transpire. And that's very important. So we get that understanding when we go into the word of God and we begin to learn from the scriptures what God spoke in advance through his prophets and through his servants, then understanding begins to come into our lives. That's very important. That's why we are going step by step studying the word of God, because it is when we do that line upon line, precept upon precept, that understanding comes and that the church is equipped and walks with pure understanding of the word and not in confusion. Number two, believers are sons of light. We should know that. Now, when we say we are sons of light, it means we are sons of revelation. Light is revelation. We are sons of revelation. We are not sons of darkness. And revelation comes through the Spirit by the word of God. So we need to be sons of revelation, not sons of darkness who cannot see or perceive, but sons of revelation and insight into the word of God. One of the prayers that Paul prays that is powerful is found in the book or in the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1 from verse 17 to 18, where he says, I pray that the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ may fill you. Wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God or in the knowledge of Christ, that your eyes of the Spirit may be open, that you may know the hope of your calling. So we need to be people of revelation, the spirit of revelation. We need to pray for revelation. We need insight. We need our eyes open to what God is doing. It's one of the prayers that you must pray often. And as believers, we must watch and pray. In verse 7, Paul exhorts the saints, saying, so you must be sober and alert. As believers, we cannot afford to be asleep. We cannot afford to have spiritual slumber, especially in times like this. We must be awake spiritually. We must be sober. We must be able to perceive in the realm of the Spirit and be able to know what to do and to instruct people what to do, because we have perception in the realm of the Spirit. Lesson number three, God has appointed believers for salvation and not for wrath. He is reminding the saints in Thessalonica Paul that our portion is not the wrath of God. We have been appointed for salvation. We If God has planned salvation for us, we have not been appointed for tribulation. So the church in Thessalonica was going through a difficult time, and they thought that tribulation had come. But Paul says the wrath of God is not upon the church, for the wrath that was supposed to come upon us went upon Christ. So the wrath of God was expressed on the cross so that us who believe in him and receive him may not experience the wrath of God. But those that reject Christ will then experience the wrath of God because they've rejected him that carried our sins and carried our wrath, our pain. Isaiah says the chastisement of our peace was upon him. So it's important that you understand that you have been appointed for salvation. Hallelujah. Lesson number four, believers have to apply practical spiritual wisdom in their daily life. As Paul concludes this first letter to the Thessalonians, he began by dealing with doctrine. When we begin chapter 1, he's introducing and exhorting the saints. He gets into doctrine, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4. Then he's ending now, chapter 5, he also deals with doctrine of times and seasons. But the end part, he deals with practical wisdom that he exhorts the saints to live by. And we need that practical wisdom in our daily life. Yes, we need it. Where he says, rejoice always, rejoice evermore. We should be full of joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Pray without ceasing. We should be men and women of prayer. Give thanks, for this is the will of God. Let's not be people who complain, mourn, and murmur like the children of Israel who failed to reach the promised land because of complaining and complaining. But let us give thanks. Whatever situation you are in, whatever challenge you might face, whatever you might lack, but in all things, let us learn to give thanks, because there are many blessings that God has given us. He has preserved us. He has loved us. He has bought us with the precious blood of Jesus. Give thanks. See the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He says, be sure not to quench the spirit. Despise not prophecy, but test all things and be able to hold on to what is good. These are practical principles that we must apply in our daily lives as believers. Lesson number five, Paul ends with that prayer, but that prayer reveals a powerful lesson that man is triunion like our God. We are made in the image and likeness of God, who is Trinity, God the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Man is also spirit, soul, and body. We are made of three parts. In that prayer, as Paul prays, he reveals that man is made up of three. So we must understand that we are three in one. The spirit, which is the most important, which is the real you, your spirit man. And your spirit is a soul. The soul is where your mind is, where your emotions are, where your conscience and subconscious is. That's where your thoughts and imagination is. Then we have the body, which is the house and the container, which carries the first two. So Paul puts it in the right order, starting with the spirit, because when the spirit leaves the body dies. So there is no life for the body except with the spirit. When God created man, the Bible says he created the body out of the dust of the ground, then breathed into him the breath of life. Then he became a living being or a living soul. So before the breath of God, Adam was just dead. He was just soil. But when the breath of God, so that which is like God is the spirit man. The Bible says, for God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we must care for our spirit man, for he is the one who is most important. And we must have our mind renewed according to the word of God. And our body needs to be subjected to the will of God. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. I die every day. He says, I subject my body. So the body has to be subjected, for the flesh desires that which is contrary to the will of God. So we must learn how to manage and to develop the three parts of our being. That's very important as a believer, for us to be able to progress and to be able to advance in our faith and in our walk with God. We need to understand the spirit, the soul, and the body. Hallelujah. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for revelation that comes from your scriptures. Thank you, Father, for this word that has been preserved for generations, the revelation, Father, to the church, And I pray, Heavenly Father, that God, you may give us understanding. Open our eyes of understanding. We pray for revelation. We pray for insight, Father, that we may not be like sons of darkness, but we are children of light, children of revelation, children that have spiritual perception, that can perceive in the realm of the spirit. I pray that anyone who was blind spiritually, may their eyes open, may their ears open, may they have understanding of the word and of the times and seasons. I pray, Spirit of God, that you may empower us to apply practical principles and wisdom of the word, that in this season, Father, we may walk in joy, be people who are prayerful, believers that pray and are thankful, who understand and can test spirits and are able to hold on to that which is good. Father, we pray as Paul prayed for the saints, that God, may you keep our spirit, our soul, and our body blameless and sanctified unto the coming of Jesus Christ, that when he appears, we may receive him, and we may receive him with joy, and we may meet with him, and that we may be transformed and be like him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. What a blessing. Thank you so much for joining me. We continue to lesson number 5, and we are moving on to 2 Thessalonians. Continue with me on this journey. What a blessing is going to be in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. For more of these teachings, send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 355 0334.